Welcome to a TMCNet podcast. My name is Rich Tarani, and I'm the president of TMC and also the group editor-in-chief here of TMC and TMCNet. And the date is May the 23rd. It's 2008, and we've got the pleasure today to be speaking with Dana Rasmussen, who is the president of Siemens Communications North America. How are you, Dana?
Very good, Rich. Thank you. And good morning to you.
Good morning to you as well. I didn't ask where you were located this morning.
I'm actually working out of the Boston office today.
Oh, okay. So you're in the New England area like we are in Connecticut. That's great.
That's right. Reeling from a bad Celtics loss last night.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. These things happen. So you have a nice drive into work today. How was the weather for you?
Yeah, the weather's great. Looks like we're in for a good weekend, so should be an enjoyable Memorial Day.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. So with that, I'm so happy that you took time from your very busy schedule to speak with me, and I've got some questions for you regarding, I guess we're going to focus a bit on unified communications because it's such a rage these days, and I'm curious from your perspective, what do you think is driving the need for UC these days?
Well, you know, I think when we talk to customers, I think customers really have a vision that unified communications long-term offers some advantages in really just improving communications and facilitating better communications inside and outside their company, and in particular, integrating that concept into business process and business workflow within their company. So, you know, I think the longer-term vision is very much focused on driving or looking for opportunities, if you will, to leverage unified communications to make them more competitive in their business, whether it be more responsive to their customers, the ability to transact in business more effectively, or just to improve development timelines and cycles through integration of UC within the business process. Now, having said that, you know, I think customers see that as a long-term direction, and the investments they're making now really focus on vendors who have a consistent vision that goes in that direction, but enables them the option to deploy a solution today that can develop as a stepwise approach to that longer-term strategy. So what we see actually happening in the market in a lot of respects today is that the initial deployments toward the unified communication strategy are really initially focused on the integration of voice over IP, as a core element of a voice transformation and really transitioning voice from what historically has been a premise-based solution to one that is centralized and one that's built around an IT data center approach, and then leveraging that technology by integrating it into desktop applications to facilitate better communications between voice, video, and data. So while I think the longer-term goal is very much focused around business process, the initial implementations are really focused on unification of different communication mediums to improve the effectiveness of communications within the company and with their ecosystem partners.
Thanks. Now, you mentioned video, and I'm curious to understand how video is growing as a percentage of your UC solutions.
Well, so we introduced a video solution actually a couple months ago into the marketplace. And I think the unique characteristic of our video solution is that it is integrated into our UC platform, our UC portfolio. So just like we can show presence for an individual in terms of their telephony presence or their data presence, you now have the ability to do the same from a video perspective. And a good way of, I guess, explaining this is if there's a collaboration group that would like to engage over a video conference session, the ability from a desktop application to see the availability of different video resources that are available and to establish a collaboration through, you know, point and click type of conferencing capability just enables the use of video in a much more effective manner and one that's driven from the desktop or from the application, which is the familiar collaboration interface that we're seeing individuals, you know, working with. So the ability now to, you know, bridge together a video desktop or a video conference room session to improve collaboration, or to combine that video group with outside sources that are connected through purely audio or telephony connections, having the flexibility to do that with very consistent interface and a very easy-to-use interface is one that is improving collaboration and a better adoption of video into the day-to-day communication mediums that are being used.
Now, what are you doing in terms of telepresence? Is that a big part of your business, or is there some buzz in that space?
Well, I do think there's buzz in that space. I think in the end of the day, what people are really looking for is just a higher quality of video, and one that, frankly, is cost-effective. I think one of the challenges that we've seen with telepresence is, while it does offer, I think, a lot of nice capability and really very high-quality video, to many corporations, it is very cost-prohibitive to take the large step towards telepresence. And, in fact, again, we've seen is that even corporations who have invested in, you know, boardroom-level video conferencing systems, they're looking to simplify the use of those and improve the quality of those without necessarily making the largest step towards telepresence. So we believe that, you know, we see that transformation in the market happening. We think telepresence does serve a very high-end need within the marketplace, where our video solution, with their high-definition quality, ease of access, ease of use, we believe is appealing to a very large portion of the base, from small enterprise through the large enterprises.
Yeah, it's amazing to me just watching how there's a suite of vendors that focus on telepresence for the high end of the market, and then I see some vendors focusing on it from a SMB perspective, where they have telepresence. I think I've seen even some systems down in the $10,000 or $8,000 range, and that they're not necessarily the same telepresences as you would see in a room where there's three massive screens in front of you, four massive screens. But it's just kind of interesting how even the term is taking on a different meaning nowadays.
Well, it is, and you know, in the end of the day, I think what customers oftentimes equate telepresence or, you know, video, if you will, the evolution of video, it really focuses on the quality of the video image, the ease of being able to establish a video conference session as really being the primary drivers. So, you know, call it telepresence, I'm not sure how, you know, that definition, you know, evolves, but what we see is that the critical, you know, transformation features that people are looking for is really cutting down the complexity on getting the system operational, connecting to those remote sites, and once connected, you know, alleviating the need of having the, you know, the staggered frames, the breakup in the picture quality, and so on, which is what the high-definition capability brings in. So, you know, the solution we bring really focuses on both of those elements: high-definition on the quality side, ease of use through a common interface, so you're not having to deal with complex setup and, you know, configuration issues in the room to get the system up and running.
And that makes good sense. So if you had to tell me in terms of business benefits of seeing voice move to software, what would you tell me about that transition?
Well, I think it's a couple things. It allows you to, I think there's two elements here. First of all, moving to software, and then also the openness aspect of it, I think are two very critical components. First of all, from a software perspective, it provides a lot more flexibility to take advantage of new technology, greater processing capacity that are available on standard, industry standard platforms. So the ability to transport that software and keep pace with industry innovations on processing capacity and the ability to really provide a higher quality of voice and a more reliable level of voice service is now available in a software-based model versus relying on a vendor who's building purpose-built systems to run, you know, only to run a telephony application. I think that's on one dimension. The other dimension, I think, really kind of plays into, again, a significant trend I think we see everywhere in a lot of markets, is this notion around centralization and the ability now to move from a premise-based model to a centralized model and allow you to very easily turn up, you know, telephony endpoints into the system quite, you know, in a much more simple sense than before. I think this also plays very strongly into, you know, a big trend we see in many large corporations in particular around a green focus and a focus on cutting down on the amount of power utilization, you know, carbon emissions that are, you know, coming out of their company. This technology allows you to really consolidate your voice strategy into a fewer number of systems, add a level of reliability, and at the same time, give you the ability to adopt new innovation into that software-based model through standard open interfaces. And I think, you know, the flexibility that provides really is telephony now becomes an intelligent element to an application strategy, which ties very nicely with unified communications, obviously. because now that telephony interface can be integrated into business process applications like Salesforce.com, pharmaceutical market, applications like Siebel for clinical trial work, or SAP for a more, you know, horizontal type of application used in many manufacturing operations.
Great. So I've got another question. This one's, I guess, a little more complicated in terms of drivers of tech purchasing. So if you look at ROI and TCO as being two of the drivers, and let's say they have equal weight in terms of tech purchases, can you give me some examples of business case quantification metrics for software-driven unified communications?
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple key points that come up here. You know, first of all, one is, and it's kind of tough to wrap your arms around the ROI benefit, it is having that flexibility to adapt the environment and to really transform the business. So there's an investment protection element around the longevity of the solution and the evolution of telephony within the environment that provides a good return on investment, although difficult to quantify, I think, in a lot of cases. Probably one of the more, you know, simple areas to point to or metrics to point to is the moved as and changes element and the ability to support remote workers within this environment, right? Because now with the software-based model, through a centralized approach, your ability to turn up new devices in remote locations does not come with the complexity or cost of manpower and equipment at the remote sites to be able to integrate that user into the environment. So the cost savings that you get from both an operational perspective and an equipment perspective is absolutely directly realized as you migrate to a software-based model and a centralized IT deployment type of architecture, right? Because it provides a lot more simplicity in turning up those remote sites and supporting teleworkers, as well gives you the option to migrate business models towards a much more virtual type of business model. So take example, for example, call centers. The notion of being able to have virtual call centers now becomes a lot more easy and a lot easier to integrate into the environment through this type of a model because of the remote distributed nature of the solution, the ability to turn users up and accommodate routing requirements that you have in that particular application much more effectively.
So question is, obviously you have a different approach than a bunch of other players in the space. How would you compare your approach to some of the others on the market?
Well, to me, there's two areas that we've really focused on to drive some differentiation in the marketplace. It's been large focus on scalability and resiliency of the platform. You know, as you move from a location-based solution to an IP-based solution, and in particular, one that has a longer-term direction towards business process integration, where telephony is a element of a larger application strategy that is at the center of driving a competitive advantage for the company. The level of mission critical nature of the application increases quite substantially. So, you know, the ability now to deal with failover scenarios where, you know, you're protecting the application, if you will, from a location-based disruption to the business. And you can think of things like earthquakes or storms or hurricanes. Things of this nature now, you have the ability to fail over to a alternate node, if you will, through the resiliency and reliability we've brought into the platform, and that can be geographically distributed, right? So the notion of being able to fail over adds a level of reliability, particularly given the mission-critical transformation we see, voice taking as it makes its way into a business process application. The other area is scalability. The ability to support tens of thousands of endpoints on a single system provides a tremendous cost advantage to the customers and provides a lot of flexibility, as I mentioned, on where those users are physically being configured and the makeup of where those users are located. So those two elements of the product, I think, are very, very key and key differentiators for us. I think the other element, and I think this is an area that probably makes us, in my mind, puts us ahead of the competition significantly, is the level of openness that we've adopted into the platform. We are truly a SIP-based environment. We support standard interfaces like SOAP XML. And in doing that, it gives our customers a lot more flexibility to integrate our solutions into various different desktop applications, not necessarily tied to a single vendor. It also gives you the ability to integrate different types of endpoint devices into the environment. So from that perspective, customers have a lot more flexibility to take advantage of new innovations that come into the marketplace, to drive better cost positioning within their own company, and to really provide more flexibility in migrating that telephony application, if you will, communication medium, into a broader context than simply dial tone with the traditional phone features that we know today and have enjoyed for a number of years.
That's great. So if you're a CIO, what kinds of questions do you think they should be asking before they make the step into unified communications?
Well, I think a couple of questions are very important. First of all, the question around openness. I think a lot of people, preach the virtues of supporting SIP and supporting some the standard interfaces that we see in the marketplace. However, when you peel back the covers and you look at the level of openness the platform really supports, in many cases you find it is still very vendor-specific. So I think one of the key questions is, how much integration work has been done with third-party solutions ranging from physical devices, phones, both landline phones as well as wireless and mobile phones? How much integration has been done in integrating to the desktop environments, whether it be OCS, whether it be same time, or the variety of the prominent desktops you see in the marketplace? And then how much integration work has been done in integrating with third-party products that are outside of the portfolio that vendor provides? So do those interfaces, have they been integrated with some of the leading applications we see in the call center space and the messaging space and so on? To me, that really defines and is very telling in terms of the level of openness that truly is supported in the platform and how well the vendor embraces that. I think secondly, the level of reliability and the knowledge of the vendor on the importance of applying reliability into the voice solution that they're offering. We see a lot of our customers, for example, work in the healthcare space, right? So the mission-critical nature of that application, both as a traditional telephony solution and ultimately as an integrated element to the business process, becomes very, very critical. So what is the level of redundancy we see within the platform? Do you have the flexibility to distribute a redundancy model across a geographic, multiple geographic locations? Those also become very important elements. And I think lastly, and I think this is an area that a lot of people frankly oversee, is as much as it's important the platform has critical capabilities to support a longer-term evolution of where the company is going with telephony and unified communications, it's also critically important that they understand the environment, what it means to support that environment long-term as it goes from initial deployment through its life cycle. So has the vendor invested in a tool set that deals with issues such as quality management, quality monitoring, change management, and change control? One of the things we've seen in many of our customers is as they migrate from traditional TDM to voice over IP, oftentimes there's a cultural transformation that also needs to take place within the customer, and new processes need to be introduced to control the change that gets applied to the IP environment to ensure the integrity of the voice solution. I think that becomes even more critical as it becomes a unified communications platform. So does the vendor have a tool set available that deals with issues around change management, change control, quality monitoring, quality management, and performance monitoring and performance management as a tool set that ensures the integrity and longevity of that investment?
All right, so you mentioned healthcare as a vertical, and I'm always so curious as to how companies, especially in the communication space, seem to be strong in one vertical versus others. Do you have any thoughts? I mean, this is just a general question, just more of a curiosity.
I think there's a lot of it. I think for Siemens, we're an interesting company in that there are multiple operating companies that make up the larger entity. And because of that, we have visibility and we have a portfolio, frankly, that's integrated with our other operating company solutions. So, for example, in the case of healthcare, the ability to integrate our unified communication strategy with the patient tracking and patient record database that hospitals are using to control patient care within the hospital becomes a very important aspect of how you drive a unique solution to that vertical market that adds substantial value. So now the ability for a doctor to come into a room within the hospital, go to the PC or the screen that's sitting at the patient's bedside, scan their card into that system, authenticate them with that application, and be able to online get access to patient record information real time, improves the process of how they're delivering patient care, and also provides a level of assurance around the marrying between the patient, the room location, and the doctor, the providing doctor within that location, within that hospital. So we see unified communications and, frankly, the integration to the business-specific applications, particularly around certain verticals, is being very important of adding value that, again, provides some added differentiation to the hospital and, in the case of healthcare, a way of providing a better level of preferred care to the people that they're serving.
So that's great. In terms of other areas and communications-enabled business processes, do you see more potential in just in general in that area for UC to change the way companies operate?
Well, you know, I think healthcare, there's some obvious areas with healthcare, and I think we have, as I said, a lot of visibility and a lot of work that's going on there. But no, I don't think it's unique to healthcare specifically. You know, I think if you look at the financial services market, for example, and think of like a real estate agent, where they may be using an application like Salesforce.com, the ability to integrate UC, Unified Communications, with that application now provides them the ability to collaborate between their partner ecosystem, if you will, to provide a preferred level of service in transacting home sales in this case. So, for example, I have a new prospect that comes in. There's a house that we're selling. That house, that buyer has a mortgage company they prefer to work with. As a real estate broker, I'm dealing with a title company. I'm dealing with somebody to do the title searches. I'm dealing with the town potentially as well. Having the ability now to integrate those contact points within the application and the ability to initiate presence so I know how to reach those contacts more effectively and the ability to easily collaborate between those groups allows me the ability to provide a higher level of service to the person that's purchasing, looking to purchase a home. And you can imagine in the real estate market, it's highly competitive. So having that rapid response, if you will, preferred level of service becomes very, very important in the real estate agent being able to quickly identify, transact, and close an opportunity when one is presented to them. That's one example as well, and we see that within the financial services area, not just in real estate, but other areas. The other area, I think, is pharmaceutical. Historically, pharmaceutical companies have been very challenged with being able to capture the return on the investment they make in the development process of how they bring a new drug to market. So to the extent that I can improve collaboration amongst the development team that is creating a new drug and improve collaboration between that team that is conducting the clinical trial, if I have the ability to shorten that time cycle, even by 6 months or 4 months, that allows me to get to market more quickly, and in doing that, gives me a better ability to capture the revenue potential I'm looking to capture with the introduction of that new drug into the market, and in a way that saves me a lot of money in what historically has been a very time-consuming and very complex process within that industry. So unified communications integrated to those business process applications such as Siebel, which is a very prominent application used in clinical trial activity, gives that marketplace that kind of a competitive advantage. So, you know, I highlight only a few, but it's that type of integration work is where you're seeing the benefits in terms of improving cycle times for completing historically long processes by simply improving collaboration between those work groups. The ability to improve collaboration with external sources, as the case I cited with the real estate agent, and then just providing a preferred level of service by a more intimate level of service delivery, if you will, as is the case I highlighted with healthcare, I think are dynamics we see across many, many different markets.
So you talk about how companies can be more efficient and productive, and that makes very good sense. And the question I have is what do you think about the effect on the communications market, the effect of the runaway oil prices and gas prices on the communications market. Is this going to be, for our industry, something that drives sales upwards, or is it going to be something that does not?
See, I actually think, given that I'm also a consumer that's dealing with high gas prices as well, the ability to allow me to work from home or to gain access to the same information, be able to reach people easily who are also in a telecommuter model is, I think an area that this technology allows us to provide some real advantage to corporations to deal with the issue of energy costs that we see, today. The other aspect, and I kind of alluded to this earlier, was the whole green IT movement that we see going on. If I can save my energy consumption in running my internal network, that directly relates to cost savings to my bottom line. So to me, I think this technology area, voice over IP, unified communications, the effect it has on allowing a more mobile workforce and one that integrates presence so I can ensure that I can reach the people because I know how to reach them best, to me that plays very, very well around the notion of dealing with the high cost of energy we see today, and frankly, that trend I don't think is going to slow down. So I actually think this is, as much as I hate to say it, I think it's a bit of a hidden gem, if you will. The fact that those energy costs are going up, this technology actually provides some tremendous advantage in being able to deal with that issue head on, and we see it as a good catalyst, frankly, for growth for us in this industry.
And it's interesting, we're not, as an industry, we kind of are talking about it, but I don't see anybody really beating their chest about how green our industry is. And I mean, granted, we have telephones that are made out of some nasty components, I guess plastic and things like that, that maybe aren't as environmentally friendly, but from a way to offset the high cost of oil and reducing travel and reducing carbon emissions and things like that, a single phone is a much less of a pollutant, I guess, in the world than driving back and forth, I guess, let's say 100 miles both ways to work every day for I don't know, 30, 40 years, right?
Well, absolutely. I don't even think about, the airline travel work that we do. If you're anything like me, Rich, I travel quite a bit, and I'm on planes quite often.
Yeah, in fact, I think we discussed potentially meeting in an airport as opposed to...
Right.
As opposed to talking on the phone.
Right, so, I mean, look at the amount of time that I can cut down on, using that airport, right, is going to also not only save the drive time cost, but also the cost that you see in, fuel consumption within the airline space. I think that's, it has kind of a residual effect across a lot of different areas. The key is being able to understand how to best reach the person, though, right, because they may be working at home one day, they may be in a local office the next day, or they may be at a remote site the other day. Having visibility to that presence and being able to click the dial and have kind of transparency on the medium that's being used, we believe is very, very important. And that's why video, I think, plays an important role as well. Because as much as, as effective as telephony communications is, as effective as data communications is, IM, email, and so on, you still require that environment of physical contact in many types of business meetings and, business activities that go on. So having that face-to-face dynamic available through a common interface that can be tied with the other communication mediums, we see as a very important element as well. It just provides greater flexibility. And as you can imagine, with a lot of work we do with our headquartered operation in Germany, having that video element as part of the solution, I can tell you, has saved a lot of travel costs on going to international locations for those face-to-face interactions that oftentimes are really required.
And you may have heard that at least one of the airlines has cut 20% of their routes in the U.S. Recently, so it seems like whether we like it or not, we may not even be able to travel to the places we want to go because there may not even be seats.
Yeah, actually that's true. And, living in the Boston area, American Airlines, I think, announced a couple of weeks ago that they were cutting 30 flights out of the Boston area, and it was driven purely by the rise in cost. Matter of fact, yesterday, you also saw the airlines, starting to apply fees towards things such as checking first bags and increasing the fees on things like bringing pets on the plane, so things of that nature. So airline industry, I think, is really struggling with this issue of energy cost, and they're looking to augment it by increasing fees across a number of areas and reducing the number of flights that they have. So, you know, leveraging this type of technology, I think, is very, very important because it doesn't compromise the ability to, you know, do business as you traditionally do business, but alleviates the need of having to deal with the travel aspect, if you will, of ensuring good communications and, you know, effectively doing business between remote sites.
That's great. So I want to quickly make an identification statement here for someone who may have joined us mid-podcast. We're listening to TMCNet podcast with Dana Rasmussen, who is the president of Siemens Communications North America. The date today is the 23rd of May. It's 2008. My name is Rich Tarani, the president and the group editor-in-chief of TMC and TMCNet. Dana, just as we wrap on the podcast, are there any other thoughts that you would like to let the potential buyers out there worldwide know about just your company's positioning in the communication space?
Yeah, I guess there's a couple of points I wouldn't mind bringing up. First of all, I think oftentimes people, it's easy to become overwhelmed, if you will, by the notion of unified communications and, you know, how do I get from where I am today to this notion of business process integration. The companies we've seen that have been most successful are ones that really have taken a very pragmatic approach on evolving the environment towards a UC type of, you know, solution or, you know, end game. So I think, you know, what's important, I think, in to anybody that's looking at this technology is you have to take into consideration a lot of dynamics. How ready is your network to transform to this new technology area? In what areas should I look first to apply this technology as a way to drive immediate business gain? Typically, that is driven by lines of business within the company and focused on improving process within a certain line of business as a first step. I think another element that needs to be considered is culturally. How ready am I to adopt this new technology? How much are my end users prepared to transform the interfaces they're using to do their day-to-day business to new interfaces that, while more effective, do require a bit of skills transformation within the environment as well.
Right.
So I think those elements, oftentimes people look at the infrastructure, the architecture alone, they don't take into consideration the personal element, which we believe is absolutely critically important. I guess the other area, and this is an area that I think, again, Siemens provides some very good capabilities to our customers, is look at your vendor as a business partner, a strategic business partner to your business. It's no longer a supplier company type of relationship, I believe. So to the extent the vendor can bring expertise to your environment to help in that transformation and deliver a managed service, if you will, to augment the support staff and the transition work that you're doing in this evolution, you know, it is a strategic partnership. That's how we view it. And leveraging the skill sets of the vendor and the ability for the vendor to support you in that transformation, we also see as a very critical piece that drives a successful deployment and a rapid adoption within the enterprise. Nobody likes, the start and stop effect of, you know, complex projects. So the last thing we want to see happen, I think anybody wants to see happen, is people jumping in at the wrong point or not doing the complete work and thinking about the cultural transformation issues. And then, in turn, you don't have broad acceptance within your own business around the evolution that you're working towards. We believe this is very, very key technology. We think it's beneficial across a number of the areas that we talked about today. And I guess, you know, what I would appeal to the audience is look at this evolution as a strategic partnership transformation within your organization that, in the end, will make you more competitive as a company and much more effective in the segments of the market that you're dealing with. And that's all I wanted to add, Rich.
Well, thank you so much, and this has been great. Again, this is a TMCNet podcast. It's May the 23rd, and 2008, and you've been listening to Dana Rasmussen, who's the president of Siemens Communications North America, and my name is Rich Tarani, and I am the president and group editor-in-chief here of TMC and TMCNet. Dana, thanks. This was fantastic. I'm sure the listeners will be overjoyed just to be able to hear all about not only your thoughts on the UC space, but communications in general and how it makes people more productive, makes companies more productive, and at the same time is able to actually save costs, fuel costs, electricity costs, and a bunch of other costs as well. I guess airline ticket costs as well. So.
Right, exactly. Well, thank you for the opportunity of allowing me to, you know, talk to you and talk to the audience. So thank you very much, Rich.
You're welcome, and goodbye.
Goodbye.